How many know why we come together? We come together to be equipped to go out, don't we? Because there's a real purpose in our lives. And I want to touch on this tonight. What we've been told to do is to go and to make. And this is really our mission. This is our commission, right? And there's two parts of it. I want to touch on those two parts, going and making. And all the aspects of it that we're actually supposed to be committed to. So a lot of times, it's a great thing. We're gonna touch on there's a reason why we're victorious, isn't there? How many like being victorious? How many like being healed? How many like being blessed? Amen. But it's not just for us to receive it, is it? It's for us to actually be equipped to go and impart it. And if that's not going on, we're not really disciples ourselves, because to be a disciple is to replicate yourself. And we're going to look at some of this. And this is the real heart of the Father for us. It's kind of interesting. There's our president. I'm just going to hit this because everybody else is doing everything else with this. Our president really got a lot of bad press this week because of a image he put up. How many saw that? It's like, yeah. You know, the irony of it is, if you really have an understanding of who you are in Christ, that's how we're all supposed to be. Amen? Amen. Yeah. That's what I saw. Yeah, he's got it. We might not have to have the robes on, but we should be Christ. Amen? And it's just interesting. I haven't seen anybody say that. All these, you did? Okay. You said that? Oh, good, good. Man, all these highfalutin religious people and everything, all they can do is, oh, that's the worst thing you could ever do. And it's like, they don't know who they are. Amen? If we aren't touching people, Jesus doesn't get to touch him. He touches him through us. How significant that is. Amen? So, I want to go through this as quickly as I can, because I do have a few things. And I believe it needs to be something that we actually are intentionally going towards all the time. It needs to be what our church is really about, because otherwise we just kind of get fat and sassy and don't really accomplish our purpose. Is that right? So, let's look at Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And it's always kind of interesting. It's like, he's got all the authority. Now you go. And so there's built into that is a whole bunch of implication that you have to know who you are in him. You have to be Trump in a messed up meme. Right? You have to know who you are. Or else that doesn't mean anything. He says, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. So he's implying here, well, I'll get into it. Go, therefore. So there's two things. There's going, and then there's making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, and here's the key, I am with you always. So here's the process that he's given us, as he says, I'm going to give you the way that who I am becomes replicated continuously, exponentially going forward, is when you go and you make, and I am with you all the time. Amen? He doesn't say just go and do it. He says, no, I'm there discipling you all the time. Amen? So so there's two things, going and making. And I just want to hit on the going part, because it is very critical for us to go successfully, for us to know who we are. Amen? So Jesus, in fact, didn't actually go out into his ministry until he was 30 years old, right? And we're going to kind of look at what he was doing during that time. He was being prepared in his identity, wasn't he? So that when he went, he was going with power. Yeah. Amen? So it's so important for us, just in that one statement, we can say, well, I guess we're just going to supposed to go. Well, there's a lot implied in that. You have to go in the revelation of who you are. Jesus just said that. All authority has been given to me. Now you go. Now the implication is you go in me. Amen? So go, moving in the revelation of our identity with Christ and authority. And we're going to look at this, though, because it's not enough just to know who you are in Christ. It's when you actually put some motion to it that the power of the Holy Spirit becomes activated and actually effective through it. So Colossians 2, 9 through 10. For in Christ there is all of God in a human body. So you have everything when you have Christ. See, that kind of helps me with the commission. All authority has been given to me, now you go. Well, that's because you have everything when you're in Christ. And you are filled with God through your union with Christ. He is the very highest ruler with all authority over every other power. So, this needs to not just be a sermon you heard. It becomes who you are. Amen? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask whatever you want because you're actually living in me. So there's a, but it's not just enough to live in him. Then you have to go in that power. Or it's just dormant. It's not, what's the power for? For you to really feel good about yourself? Or even living in victory ourselves is kind of meaningless unless it's for a purpose. We're going to kind of see this. So here's a necessity in this, though, because sometimes we can just say, I just need to go to more meetings. I need to just go to more. I need to get more revelation. I need to study more. But he doesn't say command isn't to become studious and to become reclusive. It's to go, isn't it? And so with everything that we acquire in understanding, it's enough already, but we have to go with it. So if everything must be figured out at first, there's no mobility. If you think you're still needing to get more equipped, you never go. But in the going, there is showing of what and how to do the mission. Because everything we're commanded to go with is for a bigger purpose than just us. Amen? And until we step out and do something, and you guys probably have testimonies of this, that you don't really know what to do, but then you open your mouth. You know, there's a scripture about that. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. But if you're waiting to get complete revelation on what you're supposed to say, you just hold back, don't you? And I believe this is a big part of where we have to be as a church and going forward is God has things for us to do that we just need to go. We are already equipped. God is already inside of us. We already have enough revelation. So, some statements here. We already have the authority, ability, and power through our unity with Jesus. He already, and this is the cool thing, he already has what is needed for the mission. So if we believe we're in him, we already have it all, don't we? Amen? Now, as we live and move and have our being in him, so this has to precede going. Amen? So all the stuff we're learning is important. We have to be living in him. We have to know who we are in him. Amen? But now, when we just go, amen, we're just faithful to go. I think we need to be saying, Holy Spirit, show me how to go to the supermarket. Now, God's been talking to me about some stuff I need to do here in Liberty Hill, and I won't tell you what they are because I'm just going to be faithful to do them. But it's like, you don't need to know where that's going to take you. You just go. Amen? And when we just go, he strengthens and gives direction. Because sometimes we can say, well, I'm just not strong enough yet. No, when you get up to go, that's when your strength comes. Amen? And you say, I don't know where to go. Well, you get up and start going. It's like Abraham, right? He went, God said go. And he went not knowing. Amen? There's something powerful about that because now It's God doing it and not you. Amen? So, and I like this one. When we express, how many have shared something? You know, and it doesn't need to necessarily be some great revelation from God. It can be your own testimony, can it? Amen? In fact, a lot of times that's the most powerful thing. There's inspiration as his voice speaks through ours. And have you ever noticed when you just are obedient to start sharing something, that all of a sudden there's an unction? Amen? This is part of the going thing. You just start speaking. In fact, the more you do it, the more you become a channel for him to flow through. Amen? Okay. When we touch, he is touching. We're doing the Trump effect, right? With anointing to break yokes of bondage. Amen? He didn't say, touch people when you feel like it. He said, lay hands on the sick. Nothing about you. Amen? But when you do it, what happens? This is going, isn't it? Going with what who you know you are. Praise God. And getting rid of inhibitions, getting rid of holding back. Amen? And then when we give, you know, when we give our time, when we give our money, when we give, what happens with that? This is really wonderful revelation. But when you begin to give, what are you doing? You're doing the will of God. It's not even about you. It's about God ministering to somebody. How many have been blessed by somebody giving to you? Amen? Did you know that they were being obedient to God? And you can say, thank you, Lord, for that gift to me, right? So what happens, though, and with each going, with each response to do something that's within our ability to do, it's actually beyond our ability to do, but we're being obedient, there's a provision of God. And in the giving, where you become, it's like Mark says, you become faithful in giving and God will support your habit. Because what will happen is that there'll be an unction from God. There'll be a provision that God, that you become an instrument for. Amen? So this is all part of this giving, going. You're going in what you've been given. Amen? And it's touching people. So that's the first part of it. But the second part, because this can be just about us being full of prosperity, being full of healing, and it can become a part of us. But it's not just to become a minister. You can stand up in front of people. You can touch people. And God says, but you're not done. Right? You gave a gift. You expressed something to somebody. And you say, shoo, I did my good deed for the day. And God says, no, you're not done. Amen? Because here becomes the big thing. Now you got to make a disciple. And all of these things that are, well, we'll see this. All these things that you're doing are revealing to somebody the reality of what's on the inside. And it becomes more effective than something you can just say. It's the power of God being demonstrated. Amen? So Jesus, and we don't think of Jesus being a disciple that much, do we? And yet he didn't do anything. He didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do himself. Amen? So what does it take to make a disciple? It takes a disciple to make a disciple. And this is really cool because you can't be a disciple without making a disciple too. Amen? So disciple is somebody that's a learner, a follower, and an apprentice of a mission. So not just learning to learn, not just following to be a groupie, but you're going to be a part of the mission, accomplishing the mission, right? So let's look at Jesus as the example of this. Y'all good? So Jesus, he discovered who and what his mission was in Scripture. Okay, we're going to see that this becomes emulated in those he touched. What made Jesus able to make other disciples? It's because he knew who he was. Amen? He said, he's studying with the scholars in the temple. He has to be about his father's business. What is that? There's a mission for his life. To do that, he's going to have to find out who he is. Amen? And then what did he do? It wasn't just about finding out who he was. He got in the face of his father, didn't he? He emulated what he saw his father do in the spirit. So he had a relationship. It wasn't just about him finding out who he was, but he took that to his father and said, okay, how is this going to be worked out in me? Okay, we're going to see some of this, okay? He walked in and demonstrated the goodness of God. He drew people to him. So remember what Jesus said? He said, so for what miracles are you crucifying me? Right? Said, you were supposed to believe. All of the demonstrations of the power of Jesus was for what reason? It's really hard to sell something to somebody else that you are not demonstrating yourself. Amen? And so Jesus, how was he gonna impress people that he was the bread of life? How was he gonna impress people that he's the Messiah if he's not demonstrating any power? But just one miracle could completely turn a heart. Is that right? But it wasn't about him, was it? It wasn't. He said, I didn't come for this to be about me. I came to serve you. Isn't that amazing? Because this is what a disciple is. It's not about them. It's about them serving. Is that right? And then he fulfilled the Father's mission by replicating himself. And here's the sad thing about this. And remember when he fed the 5,000 and it said many were following him. There were many disciples. And we're going to see that there's different phases of discipleship that you can fall out of. Because to be a completed, made disciple, you have to get to the replication stage. I was thinking about this, you know, in life, and this is partly why, you know, some of these preferences of sexual preferences and stuff are so anti-life, is because you haven't really fulfilled your maturity until you've replicated, right? And as a parent, you find out that you're really not done replicating even after they're 37 years old. You know what I mean? It's because replicating yourselves becomes a lifetime commitment. Amen? It's not just getting them to sign on a card. It's they're your responsibility now. Amen? So and that's how Jesus was, wasn't he? We'll see examples of that. So making of a disciple. So I just want to have a few bullet points that we can go through and just talk about. And I'm sure you could go through a whole week of, you know, studying this, get really deep into it. But I want to at least have some bullet points we can look at that this should be a part of what, there's a reason for our victory in Christ. Amen? And there's a responsibility in it. Jesus did all this for us, not just so we could sit on it, but we could replicate it. Amen? So, making of a disciple is reception of the gospel and new birth. This has to happen in somebody, doesn't it? There has to be a revelation of identity. So for Jesus, he was already the Son of God, right? But for us, we have to be born again, don't we? Then there has to be walking in newness of life that's fulfilled promise. And we're going to look at each one of these things is something that we're responsible for taking somebody through. How is somebody going to know how to do something if they are not shown it? Amen? They need a mentor. Is that right? That's why there's so many people that have given their life to God and never gotten to its purpose, even in the church. Is that right? So there has to be, for them to become a disciple, they're going to have to walk in that newness of life and fulfill them promises. So it's important for them to learn how to walk in victory. Is that right? That's what the newness of life is. I came to give you life, and life that's abundant in every aspect, right? Okay, there's going to need to be emulating what is seen in the Spirit. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He said, I don't do anything, okay? And then living as a servant, and then fulfilling the Father's mission in replication. So, this is what we've been given to do, isn't it? Not to just go, but to be committed to those we're touching. Praise God. Our part in the making, then, is, and this is the first one that we, the first bullet point, is reception or new birth. So, we have to be able to share, to get beyond our realm and actually share with somebody. Is that right? That's a part of the going. If you're really born again, it'll be a testimony that you want to share. Is that right? It requires sharing the gospel from a testimony of its truth. And so part of the reality of this, it's not just going to be something, you really need to know how good Jesus is. He hasn't been that everything for me yet, but this is what he really is. It's not just information, it's demonstration in your life. Is that right? So Romans 10:14. But how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? So I'm thinking about the someone that's telling them, though, and I'm thinking, it makes a difference, and it did for Jesus, what he was demonstrating for them before he even told them. Is that right? He wasn't just telling them about something. He was it. Amen? So Mark 16 talks about this. He says, you know, when you believe, you're getting, there's a transformation that's taken place in you that now should be a part of your telling. It's power. Remember Paul said this. I don't want to just come with you telling you stuff. I want to come with power. Amen? So there's a need for demonstrations of power. Praise God. Healing the sick, raising the dead, all these kinds of things. Amen? And what is the reason for it? It's for the telling. But there is also just a need to be living in victory with a smile on our face. Amen? And those who believe shall use my authority to cast out demons, just when they're manifesting in little boys that are throwing themselves in the fire. No, when they're manifesting themselves anywhere, right? Sometimes strife can be the manifestation of demonic activity, right? And what are you doing? You're getting rid of that. For what reason? So that peace can reign. Amen? And they shall speak new languages, speak in other tongues. They will be able to even handle snakes with safety. Man, I don't want to do that unless I have to. But it's going to be a demonstration. There's going to be power demonstrated. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And they'll be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them. Amen? So, this doesn't become our focus just so that we can say, wow, we really had a move of the Spirit. It becomes something that comes out of us for the same reason that Jesus did it. Is so that they would hear his voice. Amen? And be changed by it. So, if we've really been transformed, it says if anybody believes, they're going to have some power that's a part of their life. That's going to change their testimony from just one that's going to get people to be part of a social club to one that's going to actually be transformed and become a disciple. Amen? So, it's our responsibility in this then. To let them know. Praise God. But it's not enough just for them to say, okay, I believe in Jesus. You got me there. They have to become aware of who they are. Remember, that's what Jesus did. That's what we do. we're kind of powerless until we know who we are in Christ. Amen? And that precious person that we told is in need of that same revelation. We can say, I just hope you all figure it out. No, it becomes our responsibility, doesn't it? You know, Galatians 4:19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. This is the heart of Paul, isn't it? In fact, most of the epistles were written with this as what was going on. He was discipling, wasn't he? He was bringing the revelation of who they were in Christ. And there's one in there's a passage in Galatians that says, how can you so quickly and easily just depart from this great revelation? That means there's a necessity to stay hooked up with those that we've touched. Amen? That there are ongoing, Paul demonstrated this over and over again. The people he brought the revelation of who they were to were his lifetime commitment. That's why we have the apostles, epistles. Amen? So it becomes our responsibility to let them know, to guide them through. And this next one I think is precious in this, because the revelation of who we are in Christ isn't something that's just going to be information either. It's going to be an encounter that we have to demonstrate. And this is why, you know, what I think is so precious, and it's good to work for us to worship here together. How many enjoy just, God, I love you, you know, being able to sing this. But there's a reality in worship that goes beyond just a song. It becomes your life. Amen? That becomes a revelation that the presence of God is bigger than the presence of any kind of circumstance that you're in. He's a reality for you that affects how you act, that affects your response. Amen? And this is not going to be something that people can just get on their own necessarily. They might get it to some extent. But it's our responsibility to mentor them in this. Amen? That's why I think one of the greatest things happening for us in our gatherings here is what's going on in the seats out there during worship. Amen? Because this is demonstrating, especially if we have people, guests coming in, you know, they're looking around to the sides to see if this is real or not. And that's why I think there needs to be preparation before we even get here, of getting in the presence of God, praying in the Spirit, getting our focus on Him, amen, to where we're not having to adjust when we get in here, amen, but it becomes a authentic response to the presence of God. We can all draw close to Him, and I like this. This passage keeps referring to all, us. It's an encounter that's being affected. Amen? It's a discipling process that's taken place, a very necessary thing that's taken place. For us to have a revelation of who we are, we have to get in His presence, not just listen to some sermons. Amen? It's His face that changes our perspective of ourselves. Amen? We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. Isn't this wonderful? And we can miss out on that altogether. We can be impressed with a song and miss out on His face. You know? And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is an essential part of the process of discipling. Amen? Because this is transforming your perspective of yourself from one of the old to now new. Amen? We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen? Oh, I'm so grateful that I got, that my parents brought me up in an atmosphere of being aware of the presence of God. Amen? But it has to be something that we press into continually, all the time. Amen? The greatest impression of who we are in Christ is the one we have right now in his face. Amen? And it has to be shared. We're not going to disciple somebody by just telling them what to do. We're going to disciple them by taking them to the one who will show them who they are. Amen? That's why there's so much responsibility on us to be living what we're talking about. Amen? Because there won't be any holding it back, and there'll be no faking it. It's got to be real. Amen? So, an identity of who we are, and then walking in its power. Walking in newness of life with a fulfilled promise. Romans 6:4. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, and again, I like this, we were also raised with him. This is what we're communicating all the time. You become a new creation. Now this is what we do. Amen? It's a communication of what a disciple does. And you get drawn into it because it's real, it's authentic. Amen? We have been co-resurrected with him. For what purpose? So we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Amen? So everything, every promise that's yes in Christ, it's a wonderful thing, but it's really not optional for a disciple. It's required. Amen? Because to be a disciple, you're going to have to be what you believe so that you can actually replicate it. Amen? You can't replicate something that you're not. Emulating what is seen in the Spirit. So, Jesus said this. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it, right? And sometimes we can think, oh, wow, Jesus really had it made. He could see his Father doing stuff. And he was demonstrating for us the same thing. In Romans 8 here says, the mature children of God was those that have been discipled, that have become more than just a new creation, that more than just what they know who they are. They've had more than just an encounter in his presence. They are moved now by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. That means there's a place for us in the Spirit to actually become led by the Spirit. Amen? And so this isn't something that we just let people go on their own. It needs to become a responsibility that we're actually doing that ourselves, and we're enabled as we do it to lead other people into that. Why is this so essential? If you want to be a child of God, that's what you do. Amen? You're no longer led by your flesh. The context around this is being led by the flesh, isn't it? Well, a disciple, for them to become a mature disciple, they're going to have to be shown that it's not just you trying to overcome something in the flesh yourself, but you become led by the Spirit. Amen? All right. So living as a servant also, and I like this part. All of this isn't to elevate us above anybody else. Amen? And Jesus so wonderfully demonstrated this, right? By washing their feet. Said, I have to do this so that you can see that I didn't come to be served by you. I came to serve. That's what a disciple does. You can't fulfill your mission if it's about you. It's got to be about the people you've come to serve. Amen? And this really needs to be the heart of this church, is we're growing for what purpose? To serve people. Amen? So me growing in the Lord is not just something that's nice for me. It's required of me. Amen? Because this is what I've been told to do, is make disciples. And what's that going to look like? It's going to look like me being a disciple first. Amen? And then replicating myself, all right? And here's the one that's wonderful. Fulfilling the Father's mission in this 2 Corinthians 5:17. A lot of times we get stuck on the verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, yay. All this old stuff is gone. I'm just new now. Right? And what is the purpose of that? We've got to keep going, don't we? Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, don't you like these other translations sometimes kind of give you another approach to it? If anyone was enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. And you think, that's so great. That's what I am now. And I just want to get revelation on that. But it says, this is what this new creation does. This new creation has a purpose now. Amen? All that is related to the old order has vanished. That means your old purpose is gone too. It's not about you. It's not you getting served. It's about you being a servant. Amen? Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new. And here's the part that is so wonderful, right? And reconciled us to himself. That means that division has been eliminated. We're made one with him. Amen? And given us the ministry. I'm not a minister. That's Pastor Stephen's job. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Of reconciling others to God. That's the mission, isn't it? In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping the records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door to reconciliation to God. So what is the whole purpose of being a new creation in him? It's to disciple, isn't it? And it's going to involve our whole life. The wonderful thing about this is Jesus said, come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The wonderful thing about this, a lot of people are living in a lot of weariness and a lot of discouragement, and they don't have time for what we're talking about. And Jesus says, you just take on this yoke. Just become a disciple maker. And it's amazing how easy things will become. Amen? You'll lose your self-focus. Self-focus is one of the most discouraging things. If you're not seeing yourself in Christ, is that right? So it can be really discouraging. But when you begin to look at other people, and this is my purpose. Amen? Wow. It's like we said at the beginning, you start going with a purpose that's beyond you. And now you have the unction, the strength, the power of God in everything that you do. Amen? And then your life has a purpose that is so much more than just gimme, gimme. Amen? And this becomes a... I just wanted to use this last passage because this becomes a... Paul demonstrated also in Ephesians. Remember when he prayed for people, he said, when I heard that you were, you know, believing, I give thanks all the time, you know. But then I don't stop there because I know that discipleship isn't just something that's in your past. Being a mature disciple requires me continually praying for you. Amen? There can be an unction in the spirit when we begin praying for our church body this way, for our children especially. Amen? They're the ones that we can affect most with this. There's so many children that come up in church and they don't end up believing God because they haven't seen any examples of it. They haven't actually been discipled in this. Amen? But when they begin to see people actually living in the power and the victory, amen? Going through stuff but overcoming it. Amen? So, our mission, our commission is to go and to make, and that will be our heart always being extended to those that we touch. Amen? And Jesus demonstrated this with Peter. Remember, Peter, my dear friend, don't you like that? My dear friend. It's going to be a relationship that takes place in discipleship. It's going to need to be something beyond just casual. My dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has demanded to come and sift you like wheat and test your faith, but I have prayed. Man, a disciple maker is a prayer. Amen? His heart is connected. There's an unction when he goes to pray. It becomes a fervent prayer that's effectual. Amen? And he begins to see things in the spirit when he does. Satan has desired to touch somebody, but I'm praying. Amen? And that's what Jesus, he was a disciple maker, wasn't he? Why was it so important for him to make disciples? It's because we're here right now because he did. Amen? And a disciple maker is a disciple maker. Amen? It's a continuous thing. But I prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, after you have turned back to me, and this is the cool exponential purpose in disciple making. It says, after you've turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to do what? Make disciples. Is that right? Strengthen the faith of your brothers. The purpose in coming back to him, purpose in being united with him, is to bring others. Amen? Otherwise, it's shallow. Is that right? Father, we